सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। We'll chant verses 1 to 5, chapter 6. श्री भगवानुवाच श्री भगवानुवाच अनाश्रितकर्मफलम् कार्यं कर्म करोति यः ससन्यासी च योगी च न निर्दग्भिर्न चाक्रियः। श्री भगवानुवाच अनाश्रितकर्मफलम् कार्यं कर्म करोति यः ससन्यासी च योगी च न निरग्निर्न चाक्रियः। यं संन्यासमिति प्राहुः योगं तं विद्धि पाण्डव नत्यसंयत्तसङ्कल्पः योगी भवति कश्चन यं संन्यासमिति प्राहुः योगं तं विद्धि पाण्डव नत्यसंयत्तसङ्कल्पः योगी भवति कश्चन। आरुरुक्षोर्मुनेर्योगम् कर्मकारणमुच्यते योगारूढस्य तस्यैव शमकारणमुच्यते। आरुरुक्षोर्मुनेर्योगम् कर्मकारणमुच्यते योगारूढस्य तस्यैव शमकारणमुच्यते। यदा हिनीन्द्रियार्थेषु न कर्मस्वनुषज्यते सर्वसंकल्पसन्यासी योगारूढस्तदोच्यते। यदा हिनीन्द्रियार्थेषु न कर्मस्वनुषज्यते सर्वसंकल्पसन्यासी योगारूढस्तदोच्यते। उदरेदात्मनात्मानम् आत्मानम् अवसादयेत् आत्मैव आत्मनो बन्धुः आत्मैव पुरात्मनः उदरेदात्मनात्मानम् अवसादयेत् आत्मैव पुरात्मनः।
Process of karma yoga, you exhaust the bulk of your desires and then you attain what is called as chitta shuddhi, a purification of your mind. And the purified mind is in the state of mental focus, or what you call as, it has absolutely no preoccupations of the world, and that is what you call as renunciation. Renunciation means growth. You have grown, risen above the material world. And the mind becomes free from the preoccupations, and from that renunciation you are able to do dhyan, meditation, and meditation leads you to realization. Even Jesus says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. So the mental impurity needs to be removed. If you resign from work, you are not going to become free from mental impurities. On the contrary, you may be thinking about the world more, sitting quietly doing nothing, which is only going to add up to your impressions. Therefore, Krishna spoke about Karma Yoga in the 3rd chapter. Then, in the 5th chapter we saw, he spoke about, in the 4th chapter he spoke about converting every action into worship. Then you reach a state of sannyas, and when you have attained the mental state of renunciation, then you qualify for meditation. If you do not break off, quieten your mind and then sit on the seat of meditation, you will not be able to meditate. Because you are, first of all, you are coming from different places to this class. You got stuck in the traffic jam, or maybe you are at work, or you are coming from work. And there's so many things that have been going on. And when we sit down, straight away we start the class, you also find it difficult to, start focusing immediately. So what you have to do, we'll do a little bit of chanting, tune in, and then you get into the class. This is what we are doing every week when we meet for the class. The idea is this, from there you detach, and then you bring in your mind to tune in, and then you are able to get into the subject more in detail. Similarly, when you want to go within and reveal yourself, you need to be fully available. But if you have too many preoccupations, you sit down in meditation, you can't meditate. There are a lot of people who sit on the seat of meditation and they either go to sleep or they are lost in some thoughts. It appears for the others as if they are in meditation. But either you are meandering mentally or you have gone off to sleep. The body is so tired that you have gone off to sleep. And also you are, used to falling off to sleep when you close your eyes. Always you have been associating closing of the eyes to sleep. So in meditation you sit down and close your eyes, you go to sleep. In fact, one of the obstacles in meditation, the scriptures talk about, is called laya. Laya means sleep. We'll talk about it in detail later on in this chapter. I'm just mentioning it here. So therefore, they say, first bring about mental purity. Then attain some detachment. I keep saying, at least you should have the capacity to put your mobile phone in silent mode or something of mode during this class. This itself is becoming a big thing. In fact, one lady started arguing with me in one of the classes. Why should I put it in silent mode? Of course, if there is some emergency, people are going to call me, I will answer. I said, you understand? Now what am I going to argue with her? If somebody is going to argue with me like this, I'm not going to say anything. So the thing is, for some of us it's so obvious why she is arguing with me things like this. She said, no, you people are wrong. I will keep my mobile phone switched on. I said, I'm not continuing with this anymore. You do what you want. You can go home and think about why we are saying so. See, when you are trying to go within, you should be done. We are not saying get rid of them and come. Because if you get rid of them and come, you have not got rid of it from your mind. That is why we keep on saying, getting rid of possession is not going to help you. You have to get rid of possessiveness. Are you with me? You will get rid of possessions. You have given away your car. But you will come and sit here, having the possessiveness that chitta vritti is going to be there, and that's not going to allow you to focus. So even when you join a 3-year course, a 5-year course, something that is being done in any ashram, Firstly, the guru will say, become a shishya. Then the knowledge will automatically go inside you. Otherwise, you are like a hot plate. When you sprinkle water on a hot plate, what happens? Yeah. Immediately gets evaporated. So you are not even able to receive, and retention is impossible. Therefore, you must become eligible. In fact, Adi Shankara or any master for that matter always emphasizes on qualification. Jesus Christ said, don't cast pearls before swine. In the Atma Bodha, Adi Shankara gives the adhikara form. He says, who is qualified?
Tapo vishina papana shantana vitaragina mumukshu namapekshoyam atma bodho vidhiyate.
First of all, you should have tapas. Where is tapas? During Shivratri, one day you have to do little tapas. It becomes so difficult, especially when anybody will tell you, today you have to do tapas. That is when our mind wants to indulge. Maybe you will have only one coffee every day, that day you will have five coffees.
True.
You understand? Tapas. Thodasa, tapas. Shantana, peaceful. You will have to make sure that you have relative peace if you want to, you know, make the knowledge grow in you. So people will say all sorts of things to agitate you. As a sadhak, your only obligation is to make sure that you don't allow anybody else saying anything to create reactions in you and bring about disturbance. Because you may say, the way he behaved, he caused my agitation. But that one day of your study, reflection, your protein is gone for a time. He said something and he went away. And in some people's case, if the disturbance is not just for one day, it may be for a week, it may be for a month, it may be for a year, it may be for a few, or for a decade maybe. Just somebody saying something in passing. They might not have meant it also. You understand? You should develop that ability to make sure that what came from outside stays outside and doesn't go and disturb you. If you want to gain. So like that, there are certain qualities. Mumukshatvam, all that is emphasized. Mumukshatvam means an ardent desire to liberate. Why they are emphasizing on these qualifications? Because then the knowledge will be able to go inside you, and then it will grow and you will be able to reveal the Atma from within. Whenever you give something, it should benefit both you as well as the person who has received it. Simply, mechanically you give. Half of the people don't do charity. Or half of the people who do charity do it without thinking. Am I giving it to a person who is worthy of this? It is not just your intention. Right? It's not just the intention. You give to somebody who receives it and in turn he becomes, he benefits and he benefits everybody else. That's how gift has to be given. Not without thinking. Of course, intention matters. But along with it, there has to be proper thinking. You see the qualification of the receiver, then you give. So similarly, the masters are always very clear, you must have mind that is eligible to receive the knowledge. Similarly here, in terms of meditation, you should be qualified to meditate. Simply everybody wants to go into meditation. Yeah. So a lot of people are trying to, when your mind is not even able to concentrate, going into meditation, you may damage the mind by forcing the mind. And some people go into meditation for certain powers. It is true. Meditation may bring about certain powers in you, but the powers are also worldly. Don't forget that. What we need to understand is, these are all powers of the mental realm. When you do meditation, you can get access to certain powers, like levitating, so many things. In fact, it is said in during Ramakrishna Paramahamsa's time, there was a person who had got this power of walking on water, and he was exhibiting it on Ganges. So many people were getting crowded there and watching the tamasha going on. And disciples saw them, came and spoke about it to Swami Ramakrishna Paramahamsa. And they said, you must come and watch. He said, you must come. And they took him there. And he was there. And after that fellow demonstrated it, he asked him, how long did you take to master this tapasya, this art? He said, some 25 years. He said, it takes me about 25 paisa to cross the river. I give 25 paisa to the boatman those days, and he takes me, ferries me across the river. That is all it is worth. This power of you walking on water is not going to give you moksha. In fact, it becomes a hindrance for moksha. That is why masters never spoke about it. Because you have to cross beyond them and go. In fact, many spiritual people, whether they had the powers or not, they never demonstrated it. Many people who had it and demonstrated probably were not spiritual at all. But for us, it looks, wow, a great feat. Look at this, he's sitting on meditation, possibly better, he's above the flow. Something great about it. All these are spoken about in some scriptures, but very clearly mentioned, this is not the focus of meditation. Focus of meditation is not to gather power, it is to make power powerless in your mind. Power is associated with ego. You understand? My supremacy over you. It is going to establish ego, whereas meditation is to go beyond ego. Please understand this. So a lot of people misunderstand these whole things. So either they think they'll get access to certain powers and therefore they do meditation, or they forcefully do certain things and then they go mad, they disturb their mind. All that you don't do, you have to first prepare. Bring your mind to a certain calmness. You must have some sort of detachment. For 1 hour, if you are not able to switch off your mobile phone, if that is so much of, that much of preoccupation is there, you better be in the world. Without that, nothing, you have to somehow learn this. You understand? You, whenever you become free from it, then you come, you are available. Then we will give you this knowledge. In fact, we don't have to give you, we will take it. You will find the master and you will receive the knowledge. Therefore, after giving so much of preparation, he gets into this chapter of Dhyana Yoga. That's what I am coming to. Karma Yoga, then Sannyasa Yoga, now Dhyana Yoga. So you do Karma Yoga, exhaust the bulk of your desires, attain mental growth, the state called renunciation, relative renunciation, and then you will be qualified to do meditation. Now, some people ask us, can we not do meditation every day? The answer is, Vedanta is not saying don't do. You do. But every day, your meditation should be preceded by sadhana, which includes karma yoga, upasana, jnana yoga, all that. Through your body, you should have acted in the spirit of karma yoga. And you should have done yoga asana, pranayama and all that. Hatha Yoga, then little bit of Upasana, changing the quality of your mind, putting impressions in line with your goal. Then when you sit on the, and then studying the scriptures, Jnana Yoga, Shravana and Manana, reflection. When you have done all that in that day when you do meditation, you will see that you are actually doing meditation, even if it is for what? You understand? Supposing you were running like mad, arranging this and that, then quickly coming to 2 minutes before meditation, sit down. Will you be able to focus? You can't. There is so much of things going on in your mind. They're everywhere. You know, if you bring your grandchildren or somebody and make them sit in this class, and we all close our eyes and start our prayer, you should see them. They'll close their eyes and then quickly will open their eyes. You know, my son is sitting with me and we are doing prayer before going to sleep. And I'm just closing my eyes and sitting down. He'll open his eyes. He'll touch me and say, when is this going to finish? See, the mind is going restless. All the more when you make it sit down in one place. So therefore, sadhana and then meditation.
So just after this class, we should meditate.
In fact, during my sadhana days in the ashram, immediately after the class, I used to sit down quietly. Like me, few people also. Because what they say is, when you are hearing the lecture of the master, what you absorb is only some amount, some 20% or 30%. After the session, you sit down quietly and you try to recollect the points. You're able to, immediately when you do that, you're able to get maybe 50%. If you do it tomorrow morning, if you do it next day morning, what you would probably absorb is much less. After a month, you will wonder, did we discuss anything like this? Like you were saying, when I listen to the CD again, I feel like I'm hearing something, oh, you said this also. It's not that you did not hear it then. Really. So always remember this. You should, and you will be able to do it immediately. Later on it becomes difficult. Because as it is, you've gone through this process, the mind is quiet, you will be able to sit quietly for a while. So to practice this. And you will develop willpower as well. Slowly, slowly. So chitta shuddhi, vairagya, meditation. And in this portion, he emphasizes in this chapter, meditation, dhyana yoga, the yoga of meditation, Lord Krishna first talks about external preparations and internal preparations. He's going to talk about even choosing the seat for meditation, place to meditate. All this is important. Where we have the class? You understand? We need to make sure that the class is had in a quiet place. If there is too much of distraction, as it is, our mind in a quiet place is getting distracted. Right? So that is why we say conducive time, conducive place, etc., etc. In fact, in Middle East, when I had gone for lectures, the classes used to be, Gita class used to be 8:30 to 10 in the night. Because they have three different work times. You know. Government office works from 7 to 2, 7 to 3 later. Then private MNCs work from 8 to 5 later. Then private other companies, not MNCs, they work from 8 to 1 and then 4:30 to 7:30 later. 4 to 7:30 later. So if everybody has to attend, the conducive time was 8:30 around. So we started the class at 8:30. And had for 1.5 hours. First of all, 1.5 hours is too much for many. And evening 8:30, these people who worked in government and MNCs and all those people, for them 8:30 is late. So what they used to do is they used to have dinner and come. And in the Middle East, it's fully air conditioned, all the rooms and you know, place, because it's quite hot outside. And if you are a South Indian, you eat curd rice for your dinner. Then you come and sit in the class. And the AC is also, you are almost in meditation. So I was like, my God, what is happening here? This is not, for me also, I am not very comfortable talking after I have had my dinner. You know? So I never had dinner and then I'll have dinner after 10 o'clock. It is becoming too much. By the time I go to sleep, it's too late. I said, what to do, you know, over a period of time, slowly I explained to them. Then we shifted the class on a Thursday morning, when many companies used to be closed, except few people work, a day I had to go to work only at 8 o'clock. So I suggested, can we have the class at 5:45 to 7 in the morning? Many of them agreed. Initially few people were saying, no, no, it's not possible. But to my surprise and to everybody's surprise, everybody came at 5:45. They felt that it was much better when they did the class at that time. Of course, you should have gone to sleep quite early. You just go to sleep only at 12 o'clock. 5:45 class is terrible. So what I'm trying to say is, conducive, prepare. You know, even to get through your exams in school, you need to prepare. For everything there has to be preparation. And this is a very subtle art of dissolving the mind and rising above your ego. For that there is tremendous preparation required. And every day is preparation. You need not sit and worry, all these days I did not prepare, half of my life is gone, I'm already 50. No, doesn't matter. You have today, start preparing. So he talks about external preparation, internal preparation, and then the actual meditation. Then what are the benefits of meditation? What are the obstructions and how to overcome the obstructions? He clearly explains the thought flow in this chapter. I told you, obstructions are sleep. One of the obstructions is liar. Then vikshepa, restless nature of the mind. Then kakaya, some past experiences have filtered through and is staying put there in you. And then the fourth one is rasaswadana, meaning the joy that you get in meditation. That itself is one obstacle. There are various obstacles. He picks up one obstacle. In fact, that obstacle is brought about by Arjuna. Then Lord Krishna says, what is the way you can overcome that obstacle? Then Arjuna goes a little bit away and asks a question. Somebody does some tapasya. Say, for example, all this till date, I've probably been indulging in the world, going about in the world, doing just karma, not karma yoga. Right? And when I do karma, I do actions driven by desires, and the desires may be good, desires may be selfish. If actions driven by good desires, then what is the phalam I get? Punya. If actions propelled by selfish desires, the phalam I get is pap. So I am gathering pap and punya. And many people, they try to do punya activities to get punya. What for they need punya? Support. If you want to talk about it, in the mundane level, contacts. You are saying, I want to get all my contacts. Right? All of us say this. Why do I need this contact? Support. One of the reasons for marriage is what?
Support.
Hopefully, support.
Hopefully.
You get it or not.
Everybody doesn't get it.
One of the reasons of marriage is what? Security. Some support. You understand? One of the reasons for progeny, for many people, is support. That's what Shah Jahan taught. He will get support from Aurangzeb. But what happened is a different story. I'm not saying it happens everywhere. But what I'm trying to say is, supportless. You know, when you take to spirituality, you are told, in the first chapter also I pointed out to you, Arjuna asked, Sena yorva yor madhye ratam stapaya mechuta o achuta. Take my chariot and place it in between both the armies. I said, one side of the army is good, one side is negative. Duryodhan, Kauravas, other side is Pandavas. So you have to stand in between good and bad and deliver. That is Karma Yoga. So, at least earlier, I was gaining punya. Now I have stopped gaining punya. Neither, supposing I don't achieve moksha, but I die before achieving moksha. neither having attained moksha and having not gained any punya, supportless, will my jiva not perish like some portion of cloud that has separated from the total cloud? Will it not be washed away by the wind? In other words, if you have to put it in a simple way, I have not enjoyed life. Worldly sukham also has stopped. People are having late nights and this and that. Since I have to get up and study early morning, I stopped going with late nights and everything. After studying early morning and all that regularly, still without attaining moksha, I died. What happens? Arjuna asked. Then Lord Krishna answers. That is little deviation in the end. But in this chapter, this is not flow. First Lord Krishna talks about, in fact this chapter starts with Lord Krishna himself instead of Arjuna asking a question, because he has dealt with it in detail. In fact, in the last two verses, I even pointed out to you, last two to three verses, he already started talking about meditation in the previous chapter. So now he is going to talk about preparation, and the first thing he talks about is, he is removing this misconception which he has been emphasizing, that Karma Yoga and Sannyasa are two different things. It's a very revolutionary thought that Lord has been talking, and that he emphasizes in verse number 1 of this chapter, which is a very famous verse. In fact, in this chapter, verse number 1 is a very off-quoted verse, and verse number 5 is again off-quoted verse. And when I say off-quoted verse, if you can, memorize, memorize. If you can't, don't worry. And some people think only these verses are important. No. In fact, in Los Angeles, where I gave lecture, the gentleman asked me, sir, can you tick the important verses in the entire 18 chapters and give me? I ticked almost 400 verses, totally 700 verses. Basically, what I'm trying to say is, there is nothing like this verse is important, that verse is important. Entire Bhagavad Gita is talking about how to live. But there are certain verses which give you the essence here and there. So, like that, verse number 1, chapter 6 is a very off-quoted verse. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, Anashrita Karma Phalam, Anashrita Karma Phalam, Karyam Karma Karoti Yaha, Karyam Karma Karoti Yaha, Satanyasi Cha Yogi Cha, Satanyasi Cha Yogi Cha, Nanirakdir Na Chakriyaha, Nanirakdir Na Chakriyaha, Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, अनाश्रित कर्म फलम् कार्यं कर्म करोति यः सन्यासी च योगी च न निरग्निर्न चाक्रियः. The blessed Lord said, Shri Bhagavan Vacha, the blessed Lord Krishna said, अनाश्रित कर्म फलम्. अनाश्रित means without depending, without expecting what? Karma phalam, the fruit of action. Anashrita karma phalam, karyam karma karoti yaha. Yaha means, what does yaha mean? Whosoever, he who, one who. It doesn't matter whether you are Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, male or female, nothing of that matter. Karyam karma karoti yaha. One who does what he ought to do without expecting the fruit of action, without dependence on the fruit of action. Saha sannyasi. Saha means he. Saha sannyasi. Saha yogi. He is also a yogi. Na nir agni, not the one without fire. Agni means fire. Na nir agni na cha akriya, not the one without action. Kriya means action, akriya means without action. Very clear explanation of this concept that Lord has been talking about, he brings about here in a nutshell. He is in fact talking about Karma Yoga. Right. He is saying Karma Yogi is a sannyasi. And what he is trying to say in other words is, you can be a sannyasi and be a grahastha. if you start an ashram and then worry, how am I going to continue running this ashram? Or if you think that I must start an ashram, you are a sannyasi and you are thinking about starting an ashram, you are actually still in samsara. And on the contrary, you may be in samsara, karyam karma karoti yaha, whatever ought to be done. We talked about Pancha Mahayajna and all that in the third chapter. What ought to be done? You keep doing, but noticing the fruit of action, the sankalpa. I must get this, I must do that. Desire. Desire is expectation. Desire is connected to the future. I mentioned this to you before. Ichcha is what? The bridge connecting what?
Present
to the
future.
That is ichcha. So in your mind you have the future. Physically, do you ever contact future?
No.
You will never contact future physically. Right? You will always come in touch with today only. But tomorrow is always in your
mind.
So he is just saying, renounce that and act in the present. We always think the result is where the sukham is. That is why our mind is always thinking about, I will get that, then I will be happy. Are you with me? I am never happy. This is what it is trying to tell us. According to Vedanta, your real happiness is in action itself. If it is not now, it can never be except in your mind as imagination. You are changing something in future. Now we wonder, how is it possible then to act without desire? And if at all we can act, would there be good actions? Firstly, we can't conceive that one can act. This is what he said in verse number 47, chapter 2. What is the famous verse of chapter 2, 47? What is the famous verse? Certain verses come to your mind when you think of Bhagavad Gita. What is that?
Karman yevadikarasse ma phaleshu kadachana ma karma phala heturdoho ma te sangostva karmani.
You remember? He is saying the same thing. Acting without fruit. What is this acting without fruit? See, what we need to understand is, action is something that flows naturally, like river flows naturally. Supposing there is an obstruction, like there is some stone on the earth. You remove the stone, you will find water automatically coming out. So a lot of us think action will come only if there is a desire pushing it. No, action is natural energy in Prakriti. It will come out. In fact, because of your desire, it is taking a negative direction. That is why I keep saying, if you are aware, with awareness, you can't fall into a pit. I've mentioned this many times, don't forget that. That is a crux that you need to understand. Can you fall into the pit with awareness?
No.
You understand? You will fall into a pit when you have lost your awareness. So similarly, the actually in life, we do not have the experience of acting without desire. Therefore we think it is impossible to act without desire. You have no idea what it is. So therefore the relative interpretations are given. First you have a relative limited ideal working for the welfare of the world, and then through that you slowly, slowly go. Finally, you understand that it is the Lord who is taking care of the entire universe. There is no need for me to desire this or that. Accepting anything that the Lord gives, I start doing what I am supposed to do. You understand? All these interpretations are from the relative point of view. But actually what he is trying to tell here, he is trying to say that you develop this total trust. That fellow is sannyasi. And he is not standing as a block, allowing the energy to naturally flow. And when the energy naturally flows, it cannot do any harmful action. Harmful action comes when I come in between. When I is not in between there, there can be no harmful action.
You're saying a desire is not, then what is the difference between desire and planning? I mean, we also do some planning that I have to achieve something.
Exactly, that is what I'm coming to. When you have a certain action that is naturally flowing in you, right? Certain nature in you, but it's like an artist. You plan about drawing the art. Whether you start from the head to toe or toe to head, that's up to you. You understand? But you are not scheming and planning to do some action to get something through that and enjoy. You are having the natural energy. In some it comes out as art, in some it comes out as dance, in some it comes out as engineering, in some it comes out as administration, whatever that is. Each one has that nature, what we call as swadharma. You understand? But the problem is, through that swadharmic activity, I am trying to get something. Then my mind is connecting myself to the future.
Makta, the dog is here.
Sorry, can you just repeat that?
See, I was just saying,
natural energy is your nature.
The swadharma, natural flow is there. But I come in between. The mind comes in between. Then the mind starts saying, using these things, I must earn this. I must get that. Then my mind is, I must get this. I must get that. Then only I will be happy. He's gone to the future. Then I'm feeling and planning to get there. Then there is a possibility that I may fall into negative action. But I'm just allowing my heart to surface. In fact, that is one of the reasons why certain arts, they say they are priceless. There is no price tag. Why there is no price tag?
Because they're too expensive.
Why?
Because it comes from within.
Exactly.
When
they were not there, the work came through them. It is God's work. Who can put the price tag for the God's work? Please understand what I'm saying. When the poet loses himself with nature, the poetry flows through him.
No, but can you?
Somebody asked Swami Rama, Swami Dayananda, when Dayananda, you know, he said, we don't charge for the Gita classes. So somebody asked, why is it that you don't charge for the Gita classes? Because he said, you can't afford it. Because Bhagavad Gita, it's like I have been saying, Lord Krishna was not conducting Tuesday classes, Wednesday classes, Friday classes, every Saturday I go to Gurgaon, nothing like that. He is constantly in touch with the awareness. He's become Atma himself. And when a situation came, it came out through him. When he's with gopis, his dance is coming out. When he's on the battlefield, that warfare activities are coming out through him. You understand? Naturally it's flowing. He's not standing in between.
And when we say the work is divine, then the work...
Exactly. Everybody has had some motive. And you may say that I have a motive which is good. However much the motive may be good, you are saying, I am doing it. I have to do it. Allow the nature to work through you. That is the significance of the word Bhagavad Gita also. What does Bhagavad Gita mean? The song of the Lord. If you dissolve the ego from your personality, the entire life becomes the song of the Lord. We are not allowing the Lord to play the flute. Our personality should become the flute in the hands of the Lord. But we don't. We are on one side studying Bhagavad Gita, but on the other side we are refusing ourselves to be given as a flute in the hands of totality. No, I have to, I may karna padega. Now this, the total opposite concept is, I have to sit down quietly, I don't have to do, God will do. That is why in the fifth verse he is going to talk about self-effort. You understand? What is self-effort? I am allowing my nature to manifest. I have to do the action, but without I being there. So that is why summarizing Karma Yoga in one sentence is executing action, executing actor.
There is also karma, the action. When sometimes when we do it, sometimes when we do action with our eye, we realize that things happen very calmly.
And you will see that you are extremely productive. The moment the expectation tag comes in, it saps your energy. Children have no expectation. They have tremendous energy. You were also children once upon a time. Now you are not children, you are childish. You are not childlike. When Vedanta says be childlike, what it means is the energy is there in everybody. Are you with me? You are not allowing the energy to naturally manifest. You come in between. But when you were a small child, the ego was unmanifested. But tremendous energy, no expectations, no worries of the past, anxieties of the future. And tremendous energy. And the body has worked so much, and when it becomes tired, half a second it falls up to sleep. Now your mind is working so much here and there, you are not able to sleep. Actually your physical activities have come down. But your mind starts worrying, anxious, all that is going on in your anxiety, everything is going on in your mind. As a result of which, all that you were doing once upon a time as a child, now you are not able to act that much. And as a child you were able to sleep very easily when you are tired. Now you are not able to sleep. So this is what Vedanta is saying. In fact, from unconscious innocence to conscious innocence, that is spiritual journey. A child is unconsciously innocent. Then a Mahatma is consciously innocent. Wherein he allows the energy to naturally flow. I am not there. You know, when Mahatma asked, King asked in his court, here all the ministers he addressed and said, here is there anyone who thinks that they may reach the Atma in this Janma. They may reach the Atma in this Janma. This was, he was the king of a Telugu language. So he was asking them in Telugu language. So the ministers now then thought that they are all going to reach self-realization in that Janma. One minister put up his hands and said, in Telugu, very difficult to translate in Hindi and English, but I will try my best. In Telugu he says, Nenu pote povachunu. Nenu pote povachunu. Which means, literal translation is, if I go, I go. It also means, I may go. I may go in this way. Nenu pote povachunu. If I go, then I go.
If I
ego goes. The dissolution of ego.
I go.
You understand?
I ego goes.
So what we do, what Arjuna was about to do is, he stopped action. But the I was there sitting.
I am not.
Action, he stopped. He wanted to stop. And he said, he threw his Gandiva, the first chapter, if you remember. And he sat up, I will not act. I will not act. I think if I don't act, the house can't function. Sometimes we also do. I am not going to cook today. Let us see what is happening. I am not going to manage the house. Let us see what is happening. You understand? Are you the one who is running the whole show? Were you the one who was behind getting the food from your mother's womb when you were sitting there, when you were, from your mother, when you were sitting in mother's womb? Are you the one who is going behind the earth and revolving it constantly? Are you the one who is behind the sun to give out this light? You forget that. And I comes in between. He simply says, I go hata. Give yourself in the hands of totality. And being grahasta, you are still a sannyasi. Instead of that, you may wear the apurva. And you may be sannyasa ashrama. And yet you may be a samsari. Yet you may be a grahasta. So being a grahasta or a sannyasi has very little to do with what clothes you wear. Keep your eyes closed and imagine a sannyasi. Immediately what comes in your mind?
Awesome.
A robe, long beard.
Mala.
Is it long beard or no beard? Or no hair also. And Swami Chinnamani says, the longer the beard, the greater the suspicion should be. And he himself spoke it up here. Very nice, you know, very humorously speaks. So in other words, if you close your eyes, will you be able to imagine a sannyasi in denim jeans? Impossible. In a jeans and t-shirt, you can never imagine, because you have been conditioned. This conditioning is what Lord Krishna is trying to break. What is education? Education is supposed to break the conditioning and develop free thinking in you. But is that the education that is going on today? Education today is what? Make children think the same way we think so that they can come back to this society. Come and join this society. We don't allow free thinking. I'm telling you, you start questioning, in fact, it will start upsetting you. Upsetting you means you'll start getting confused if you start questioning all your established moral values. You question, how did it happen? Now you can't function. You are not able to function. You are brought up in India, in South India, with certain moral values you have been brought up. Right? Some people will go through mental torture if they have been fasting every Tuesday, let us say, and on a particular Tuesday, by chance, without realizing that it was Tuesday, they had something. They go through torture. They say, my God, what have I done? What have I done? I've done pop. Maybe I've lost my seat in heaven, which was booked for me. No, what I'm trying to say is, I'm not ridiculing. What I'm trying to say is, see the conditioning. And conditionings are many. You go deeply and ask questions. Everything you ask questions, why? You will have no answer. You simply mechanically accept it. Only then, you are educated, be part of this. Krishna is least bothered about the society. Otherwise, in the society, what everybody would have done? Oh, Arjuna, what a great man, you are a holy man. Don't want to kill anybody. Very good. You are right. Oh, no problem. Go and sit in that small kutir in the forest. We will every now and then send you a Twitter message. You are a good boy. Krishna is saying, what are you talking, man? He is not giving that sort of philosophy here. Are you with me? He is saying, kill them, but without the ego, that I am killer. You are not the killer, you are Atma. Atma is a non-doer. You studied all that. So without being a doer, even if you kill, it is not sin, he said. And being a doer, even if you do teach Bhagavad Gita, you are still committing sin, still gathering impressions. So it does not matter what you do, what matters is how you do. Do you do it egoistically? It does not matter what you wear, what matters is what you are. Right? that where you can spell it W-E-R-E, W-E-A-R. It's the same. It does not matter what you were in the past, but what you are now, that is important. It does not matter what you wear clothes. What you are, that matters. So that is what he is saying. Anashrita karma phalam karyam karma karoti yaha saha sanyasi saha yogi. Which is?
We have discussed this earlier. Like for me, I have lot of interest. Lot of interest, like my work. I like to do photography, I like to do gardening and all that. So every time you have one activity, you give yourself 100%. It's not that you should have only one activity.
No,
you can have multiple.
Of course. But when you are a gardener, you are a gardener. When you move from gardening to photography, you are a photographer. When you move from photographer to something else, golf, you are a golfer. That's all. You have to keep moving. That's what Krishna is.
Yeah,
Krishna was with the gopis, he was dancing. When he left Vrindavan, he left. When he left Mathura, he left. He did not come back. Our problem is, mentally will be there, physically will be here. That is what is tiring you. It is not you traveling here and there, it's tiring you. You sit down in one place, you will still be tired because mentally you are attached. What Krishna is saying is totally different. It has got nothing to do with physical activity. It is to do with your mental attachment. Anashrita karma phala. Don't connect yourself to this, something that will come through. Even Bhagavad Gita says, what will I get if I study Bhagavad Gita? After studying the Bhagavad Gita, what am I going to get? Will I get promotion? Will I get one more house? Will I get this? Will I get constantly getting. As a result of which they are losing the happiness that is there in the very action. And once you experience that, then you do not want to crave for the future. The problem is you are not experiencing it. Now these are not verses for you to discuss and interpret. These are verses for you to practice and see. 24 hours you try and see this. You work it out. Just one day decide, okay, today is Shivratri. Today let me function like verse number 1, chapter 6. And the anandam that I get from that, you will see, compared to that, while I was working in my business, while doing this and that, with expectation, I was not getting the same amount of job. Then would you want to function like that? See, the problem is, we don't plunge. Really? You want to know the joy of motherhood. You have to become the mother. You have to mother a child. No. Please explain to me the joy of motherhood. Oh, this is bad. The mother is talking. Somebody who has become the mother is giving lecture. And all those who are wanting to live. But you know, if I have to become a mother, then I have to get pregnant, then I have to go through all the pain, this, that. What is the guarantee? Who can? You have to go through. You understand what I'm saying? Till you are not ready to give yourself to the philosophy, you are not going to get the joy that Krishna is talking about. But the whole world, the problem is going on is that this person is analyzing point by point. Karma Yoga has explained so many books are there. The number of interpretations that you will find for Gita, Bible, Quran, I don't know, there may be millions. You go to Gita and see interpretations. And you are fighting all over. This is the right, that is not right. This is, each one is fighting. Which is right, which is wrong. Nobody is ready to become the mother. Because the question is, who is going to build the camp? Who is going to build the camp? So what is he saying? Anartha karma. So try it one day. One day in your life, can't you give it for Bhagavad Gita? Can't you give it for Lord Krishna? And you are not actually giving it for Lord Krishna, you are giving it to yourself. Because all that Krishna is saying is, you will get the job. One day, You work at, even from a relative point of view, you work for the welfare of the world and see. Like a nightingale when it sings. Nightingale is not singing to impress the forest. In fact, it may be deserving. You understand? But nightingale is singing because the song springs from within. The song is coming from within. When you are singing in the bathroom, you are singing like the nightingale. Why? The I is temporarily gone. In the joy, the exhilaration came. The song came. The whole thing. And that nobody understands. Are you with me? So when you say planning, once that energy is going to be expressed, you plan whether to start from the head to toe or from toe to head, how you want to go about the painting you go about. That is, intellect is needed in directing the energy. But you don't stop planning. In fact, a lot of people ask this question. So that means is Vedanta saying stop planning? When Vedanta says, don't have any connections with the past, all that it is saying is, don't mentally sit and worry about what happened in the past, but if you can learn something from the past today, now consciously set your mind to the past and learn. Are you with me? For example, as a cricketer, today if you are going to have a match against a particular team and the same set of bowlers whom you played few months ago, they are going to bowl for you today. They are going to bowl at you. So what do? You play the previous matches and you see how they bowl, how you played, etc. And from that, if you can learn something, you learn. Now when you learn from the past, it is a present activity, a conscious activity. But while you are sitting in the class, your mind is going into the past, then it is not conscious activity. That is different. Similarly, planning for the future is a present activity, conscious activity. Now the natural energy is there in you to paint. Now when you see the natural energy to paint in the present, then you see how I want to go about. That is planning. The other is, you are sitting, but your mind is not the future. That is detrimental. So when Vedanta says, don't have anything with reference to past and future, it is not talking about learning from the past and it is not talking about planning for the future. That one must do. In fact, that is a conscious action. Are you with me? So this is what Lord Krishna is saying. This is what a lot of people misunderstand. So what they are doing is, live endlessly, live without plan, don't have to do any planning. God or other set of people is, God will do. You sit down. Lord Krishna is not saying that. In you, there is certain energy. Everybody is nothing but energy. Allow that energy to flow. Don't come in between. Anashrita karma phalam. Karyam karma karoti yaha. Saha sanyasi. Why? Even though he is in grihastha ashrama, apparently doing activities of a married man, he is still a sannyasi. Why is sannyasi? He is renounced about the parts of the future. The other fellow, even though he is in sannyas clothes, he is mentally worried. Kya ho raha hai? How are we going to do this? How are we going to do that? Incredible. Every year we organize this yajna. For so many years the support has come from Lakshmi Pratinani Education Foundation. This year also we are doing this. Right? There's a good portion of the yajna expenses is taken care of by the Lakshmi Pratinani Education Foundation for many years. And from Delhi, there are other expenses we still incur with reference to the yajna. Right? If I sit and worry about that, how is that going to happen? I will not be able to carry on doing my work. And invariably, you find help coming from quarters. Incredible. And not only this, Delhi has been here for the last 8 years. In many other centers, maybe in some centers we don't even have sponsors doing this program. How the help comes, how the work goes on, it's incredible. You keep putting in your efforts without you coming in between. This is, and once you taste it, like I said, one day you practice this, and once you taste it, then you say, I don't want to live like that. Why am I doing certain things? Because I don't know anything better. And if I want to do anything better, then I have to, firstly what I have to do, I have to pull myself back and reflect. One of the reasons we take people for retreats is for what? Not to see many different places. That's not the idea of a retreat. What is the reason for a retreat? What does the word retreat mean? To get back. First stop. Pause. And in retreat, what are you supposed to do? Reflect. Then recast your life. And then come and live like that. Everybody madly running. Nobody wants to stop and think. Have I got it? I've been running after the fruit. Result. When I got it, did I get it? Actually, no. Immediately, when I got 100, immediately my mind went to 1000. When I got 1000, my mind went to 10,000. Never am I happy. I've got one house here. Immediately, what my mind is thinking is, I should get one house in Alps also. After getting one in Himalayas, immediately, I want to get one in my house. Who is enjoying it? Your servants are enjoying it. Very rarely you are going there. You understand? In other words, your mind is constantly pitching. You are not enjoying. You are fooling yourself. How are you? Fine. Philosophy is saying, think. Krishna is telling this here. It's a very deep verse. Very innocuous verse. But he is going very deep. And he is saying, anasrita karma phalam. Karyam karma karotiyaha saha sanyas. I told you, no? The sanyas spirit. I gave you that example when I was in Ananda's bar. An old gentleman attended my class there. And after the class he was discussing with me. He was around 69 when he attended the class. 79 or something like that. So about 60 years ago, first time when he had come to Rishikesh, he was sitting on the bank of Ganges. And there, while he was sitting there, one sannyasi came, he says, one swami came, and he said, my stomach is hungry, give me some money, I'll buy something to eat, if you can give. He immediately took about 5 rupees those days, and gave him 5 rupees, and the swami left, and this gentleman continued to sit there. He was sharing this story with me. He continued to sit there. The Swami, after eating his breakfast, he came back looking for him, he found him, and he gave back some 4 rupees or something. He said, no, Swamiji, it was for you, I gave it for you, you please keep it, you don't have to return it back to me. For which the Swami said, it seems, I was hungry now, God sent you for breakfast. When I will be hungry next, God will send somebody. And if he will not send somebody, and if he wants me to go through hunger, I will take that as prasad and I will continue. That spirit is sannyasa spirit. We will have so many things, yet fear is there. You will have so many sons, yet the fear is there. If in case I become sick and I am in ICU, will this come, will this son will come and take care of me, or will that son will come and take care of me? What is going on? What is going on? You understand? So Lord Krishna is saying, anashrita karma phalam. Karyam karma karoti yaha saha sannyasi saha yogi. It has got nothing to do with the lifestyle. You want to wear jeans, please wear. You want to wear t-shirt, continue doing. It doesn't matter. If at all certain clothes were emphasized, certain things were emphasized, we wear this mala and all those things, it's to remind you of the path. That's all. It's conducive. That's about it. Saha sannyasi, saha yogi. So you can be a sannyasi and a yogi, both. Na nir agni. What is this agni?
The desire to act. Agni. Not desire. Don't be without the spirit to act. You have to act.
Not one without Agni. Agni, when you are Grahastha, as per the Vedic tradition, Grahastha does so many rituals and all rituals involve fire. All rituals involve fire worship. Especially Agni Hotram is a ritual that a Grahastha does every day. Right? And when you break the Grahastha Chakra and you take up sannyas, first as a Grahastha, Brahman wears a thread. Right? The thread he breaks, he wears upper robe and then he leaves all the ceremony, all the rituals. So he says, sannyasi is not to be taken as one who has literally dropped the agni, the ceremony, the rituals. Just because you dropped the rituals doesn't mean you become a sannyasi. Are you with me? That is one way of looking at it. The other way of looking at it is, civilization and fire has got a lot to do with each other. Till fire was accidentally invented by human beings, how to make fire, accidentally they must have invented it. Till they accidentally invented it, they were not cooking and eating. They were eating raw food. And in fact, one research says, after human beings started eating cooked food, there has been tremendous development in the brain. The brain that we have today, compared to the brain of the human being who belonged to that era, there is a tremendous difference. You can see it when you study brain study. And in the name of civilization, so in other words, if you drop all those things after the civilized world and go back to that and you sit in a cave, you don't become a sannyasi. That's what he's saying. You don't have to necessarily drop all this. You can be in the world. You need not eat with spoon, with your hands, if you have been used to eating in spoon, using spoon. Or simply because I drop my chapel, I walk back, you don't become a sannyasi. That's what he's trying to say. Na nir agni. Simply dropping agni, you don't become a sannyasi. Na niragni na cha akriyaha. Not if you stop actions. A lot of people, if that was so simple, Lord Krishna agreed with Arjuna, chalo, I love the community. Let us stop all this, there's no need. In your mind, like Jesus Christ said, thy will be done. Not my will be done. Then you are a sannyasi. Like you are floating in water. In fact, the best way to understand this is that example. When you first learn to drive or swim, first when you are driving, how do you sit when you are learning to drive? You put the seat very close to the chair. You are holding it like this. And then you are so tightly you are holding it, and the driver is telling you, teacher is telling you, please relax. You are so tense, you don't know how these people are driving. And afterwards, in one hand, mobile phone, in fact, not even hand, they keep the mobile phone like this, between the ear and shoulder, and one hand is driving, one hand is a cigarette. Right? Though it's not correct. You relax and drive, but initially you thought it is impossible to drive like this, even impossible to learn driving. Similarly, in swimming, what you do? I have to swim, I have to do swim. And immediately you get exhausted and you go down. Sink. The coach says, relax. Just leave it. Don't do anything. Just float. Think you will go down. And when you listen to him and finally you say, chalo, doesn't matter even if I drown. And then you relax. You actually float. You're not doing anything. Are you with me? Actually, you are digging your grave when the doership comes. Your enjoyment is removed when the doership comes. And the doership is always related to the future. I have to do this to get that in nature. Drop the bullshit, drop the future, get into the present action and you will get into that joy, that enjoyment. That is true enjoyment. That is sannyas spirit. And once you are able to come to that level, then the Atma from within reveals itself. That is the preparation, that is Karma Yoga. Karma Yoga is what? Accepting everything as a prasad. And once you have accepted everything as a prasad, you are not a loser. When you have not accepted anything and everything as a prasad that comes from the Lord, you, even though you win, you are a loser. In this case, even though you are a, you've lost the game, you are still a winner. So please understand this. When you attach yourself to winning and then play the game, this is what is happening today. Nowadays, sports has become profession. It's a career. There is so much of tension. Are you with me? What Krishna is teaching is how even profession can become sports. This is the interesting thing. Today, in the so-called civilized world, everything has become a career. They are not sports anymore. There is so much of tension. Right? Whereas what Lord Krishna is teaching here, even the so-called career, so-called life itself is a leela. How to be sportive. So in other words, once you develop this sannyas spirit that Lord Krishna is talking about here, even if you lose, you are a winner. Without this sannyas spirit, in life even you may go about winning many things, yet you are a loser. Think about it. We'll discuss in detail next week.
Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnam Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.
Narayana yeti samarpayami.